music can make people, bring people closer together.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. if you show that vulnerability by being courageous enough to perform,
yes.
then it builds a bit of street cred ultimately and,
yeah.
and respect. But I have to find the right song.
Okay.
I don't have a song about a sphinx.
No.
So.
There must be one out there.
A song about a sphinx is what I need. Or maybe even just some lilting, Greek music in the background mm-hmm. would add some flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, I'm Catherine Rollwagen, Professor of History at Vancouver Island University. Welcome to Conversations in the Arts and Humanities. We introduce you to the people and passions of the Faculty of Arts and Humanities at VIU and share stories about the projects and events happening on campus. Since 2009, the Faculty of Arts and Humanities has been presenting the Colloquium, a series of lectures that brings our faculty's practices and research to the public. The Colloquium continues in October with Eliza Gardner. Her talk is entitled Vengeance or Justice, Crime and Punishment in Oedipus Rex and Contemporary Corrections. Today, I sit down with Eliza to talk about theater, tragedy, and all things Greek.
It's nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
So you teach in the theater department, and I also teach on campus. I know how much energy you have. I've seen you in action. And I've always been really curious about what your classroom looks like. So could you talk a bit about what you teach and what your approach to teaching is?
It's really important to me to have students feel welcome and feel like their voices matter.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of participatory exercises. Obviously, it's a good fit in theater and mm-hmm. the discussion of acting. But I also do that in my history classes and do team-based learning so people can really get collegial with their perspectives on readings, mm-hmm. academic material, as well as just straight up game playing, and we have fun, and that leads to a deeper investigation of the themes that I really want to draw attention to.
Mm-hmm. What kind of plays do you like to teach the most?
I like to teach about ancient Greek tragedies.
Uh-huh.
It's just harkens back to a tradition in Western civilization.
Mm-hmm.
Where the audience, the government, the performers, the people across the land in every category really lauded the arts as being a vital component of their society. And so it's so celebratory for me to tell those stories again.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem so familiar. People have little snippets of Greek tragedies that they know about without realizing where they came from. So I just like pinpointing all of those themes mm-hmm. and pieces of the plot.
Yeah, the kind of some of those stories are in some ways a part of our kind of inherited cultural consciousness. We don't even really know where they've come from necessarily, or we've encountered them in high school or in another form. Or perhaps I'm thinking of that cartoon that was on television when I was small about Hercules. Hiya, Herc. Yeah, it wasn't necessarily the most thorough introduction to Greek culture, but it did infiltrate in that way some of those stories.
Mm-hmm. And there's even, remember the little satyr?
Yeah, yeah.
Newt,
yeah.
So even our theater club on campus is the satyr players.
Okay,
so
great.
That's like my first, you know, connection to be made with incoming students
right.
is say, well, even that has a Greek lineage.
Yeah.
There's plenty of jokes about how everything eventually cycles back to ancient Greece.
Right.
So mm-hmm. I tend to have a lot of fun with that. But I also get into the socio-political connections as well,
mm-hmm.
drawing parallels between how the Greeks saw their world and how they upheld nobility and ethics and loyalty and dedication and spirituality. All of those elements are still discussed today.
Right.
So why not use the arts to have a conversation about how the arts can still have an impact?
So, in addition to being a professor here on campus, you're also a director, of course, and you've directed several Greek tragedies in recent years. I think of Antigone with federal inmates at the William Head Institution in Mechosin in 2017, and more recently, Oedipus Rex with students here on campus. So, why do you think it's important to bring these specific tragedies to audiences today?
Well, both of those plays were written by Sophocles, and you're right, those are my two most recent productions here on one on campus and one down at the Federal Corrections Facility in Mechosin. Yeah. Both have those themes that people really connect with and they want to discuss, and framing it as a performance piece gives people a chance to explore with fewer boundaries. And so the educational potential in putting on a play that has such deep characters and that resonates with current audiences, I just love that power. I love the power of the arts piece. But you know, there's one other play that I did do on campus as well.
Yes.
The Oresteia.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Epic. Epic tragedy.
Right, yeah.
And that also had similar pieces that I just feel are really important for us to talk about, the theme, especially around justice.
Yeah.
And what is appropriate punishment to a crime that's committed. And these tragedies, they all hold a piece of that conversation, and they propose that there should be consequences.
Yeah.
And they're always striving for perfection and yet making these horrendous mistakes, mostly due to their own fallibility as a human being. And so it's the same conversation. It's the same root that is in our legal system today.
Where we're trying to figure out, you know, when someone commits a crime, what is the appropriate form of punishment for that particular crime?
And when should a family member go out and seek their own vengeance?
Right, like in Antigone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, in a way, I guess.
Antigone takes her destiny into her own hands and tries to right the wrongs of her father and family members way back in her own family history. But when is, like, taking that personal approach counterproductive compared to trusting the system?
Right.
To actually recognize somebody's guilt and debate in a legal process what is actually helpful, not just punitive.
Yeah.
And so that's the kind of conversation we can inspire in not just students, but in all audience members when they go and they see a Greek tragedy that is done in a modern way, in my argument.
Right.
Because if you make the Greek tragic production too old school, you lose people.
Okay.
So you have to really jazz it up and take advantage of the fact that they like to sing and dance.
The actors like to sing and dance?
The actors way back when.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as static as people imagine. Oh. The costumes were fabulous. The masks, the production value, as we would call it today, had pizzazz. So it's not just sort of these regal characters reciting monotonous poetry. That's not how they meant it to be. And so when I direct a Greek tragedy, I take a lot of liberties as far as the show itself goes.
Right, right.
And it's glitter and color and abstract movement and choral chanting and really precise dialogue to keep the audience listening. Aristotle, who is one of the authors of a key document in how to write the best play ever called Poetics.
Yes.
And he argued that, and that's why he named his lecture Poetics instead of How to Perform a Really Good Play.
Ah, yes.
Because back then, the poetry itself was considered the art form.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, a really well-written play, you could read it and be just as immersed in it.
Right.
But for our audiences and mm-hmm. for our undergrads, I agree. I think reading it in black and white on the page, mm-hmm. it doesn't give that oomph that the show itself can mm-hmm. give. And if you do it really well on the stage, you're going to have a much better chance at actually inspiring the audience to, you know, really perk their ears up and see how the play relates to their own lives and their own social constructs.
Yeah, yeah. So when you, for example, were directing Oedipus Rex with students, how do you get them to see or to think about those deeper connections and see it as more than just a story about a guy who made a lot of mistakes?
Mm-hmm. Well, with our version of Oedipus Rex, the first thing that I did was I actually had a directed studies practicum course in rewriting the play.
Oh, okay.
And so I had four students. We would meet regularly. We picked apart every scene and transcribed it essentially to modern lingo.
Okay, great.
And
yeah.
So our characters spoke as if they were pretty much in the here and now.
Mm-hmm.
So we had fun writing it. And because they ended up being part of the cast and crew, they knew a lot about where each scene came from and how it connected to some mythology.
Right. Yeah.
You know, famous names are mentioned. For example, the Sphinx.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and people have this image of a Sphinx in their mind and they think Egypt, and then we Google all the images of a real Greek Sphinx who's even creepier.
I don't think I know what a Greek Sphinx looks like.
Oh, you're about to. If you come to see my colloquium.
Oh, we'll get to see a picture of it. Oh, good.
I went to Greece this summer.
Yeah.
And I saw the real Sphinx.
The real Greek Sphinx. Where is the real Greek Sphinx?
The real Greek Sphinx, which is, of course, it's absolutely gigantic. It's like probably 12 or 16 feet high, and it's in Delphi.
Oh, okay.
In the beautiful, tiny mm-hmm. mountain town of Delphi, where Oedipus himself went to
yes.
consult the oracle to find out what was really going to happen in his destiny.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Oedipus, I had a little journey. And, yeah, I got to sit and wonder and mm-hmm. ask some questions to the sky above.
If I'm remembering my first year philosophy courses properly, isn't there something written above the Temple of Delphi? Know thyself, I believe, is the, yeah, so that everyone entering. I always thought that was kind of like a warning to users of the oracle that you might hear things in here, but if you don't know who you are, then you might not understand what that oracle is trying to tell you.
I think it was a phrase of Socrates.
Okay, yeah.
And he wanted people specifically mm-hmm. to investigate themselves in order to become the best human being that they could be.
Yeah.
So another one of his famous quotes is, the unexamined life is not worth living.
Right.
Which
yep.
seems a little grim, but also inspiring, mm-hmm. and I think ultimately kind of new age.
Yeah.
Because everything in every self-help book
yes.
on the shelves mm-hmm. these days talks about how we have to reckon with ourselves,
mm-hmm.
understand, and really dig quite deeply
yeah.
in order to have that shine from day to day
right.
and feel settled and comfortable
mm-hmm.
in our existence. That's exactly what Socrates, the yeah. great philosopher, wanted to have people achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And that is seen through all the tragedies as well, that striving for self knowledge so that you can actually be the best family member, the best athlete, the best politician, the best leader, the best vase maker, the best painter. The Greeks would appreciate all of those trades and positions in their world if only everyone was really at one with themselves. I love that concept.
Yeah.
Calimera. It's Eliza Gardiner from the Theater Department at Vancouver Island University. You're listening to Conversations in the Arts and Humanities on CHLY 101.7 FM, Nanaimo.
Knowing you on campus, I've always really respected the way that you challenge your students to think about theater and how theater can create meaningful and positive change in communities. I mean, we think of it on the surface, we think of theater as entertaining. And I feel like, you know, you're always challenging your students to think of it as doing so much more than that in various ways. And I was wondering if you could just say something about some of those projects that you've been a part of.
Sure. I mean, my latest angle is to look a little further into a kind of applied theater, which is kind of the academic term for theater that is meant to function outside of a theater building.
Okay, yeah.
So the application of theater across the sectors would include putting on a play in a prison.
Right.
Or doing street theater as part of a protest.
Mm-hmm.
Or, in my case this fall, with my students at the Cowichan campus, going into a care facility.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to do what's called in the textbook reminiscence theater. And so the games that we're going to play with the seniors in the care facility are going to... Oh, it'll just be so much fun because, first of all, we'll just be having a connection with people who love to have visitors and love to, you know, engage in their community, but they have their limitations due to mobility issues and maybe have some dementia and Alzheimer's that keeps them a little bit more in-house. So we'll go see them and play some games and have some laughs. And they will, because I did this last fall as well, have these moments when they remember things. And the students get to be part of this wonderment about how a little innocent theater workshop could actually build that sense of belonging, even if it's just for the moment.
Right.
It's just living in the present and connecting people of all age groups. I love that. And that's what I get my students to wonder at and be curious about. Like, does that matter as much as a Broadway musical or a big budget, full-fledged production? It's not a matter of what matters more. It's that everything matters in its own way. So I just try and show them that there's different ways to use the performing arts. And it doesn't always have to be on the biggest stage with the most technology. In the second year course of that same stream, we actually write a play together and we base it on an issue that the student group really cares about. And put that on either in the community or on campus and invite people, different groups to come and see it. And then they can talk to us about how they think our play, you know, motivated some thinking about a certain tough topic. And sometimes, they're tough topics indeed, but you can use the arts to tackle them. And without it just being a conversation, really get people to think.
So you're giving a talk as part of the colloquium series this fall. So what can people expect if they come, or should I say when they come, to the Malaspina Theatre to see your colloquium presentation?
Well, they are going to get to hear about this great tragedy, and I'll do a little bit of history around how the play Oedipus Rex is positioned. I'll talk a little linguistics and, you know, because we do talk about how the play's title even as being Oedipus Rex, but the first title is Oedipus Tyrannus. Mm-hmm. So what does a tyrant make you think of? So I'll talk about a tiny bit of history without going off too much, because my real goal with this colloquium is to draw a parallel between the crimes that are committed in the play, mm-hmm. either by accident, as is the case with Oedipus, yeah. who strikes down, you know, a rude party of noblemen who tell him to get off the road yeah. after he's gone to Delphi, mm-hmm. and he smacks them all down and leaves them for dead.
Yep.
So it's essentially manslaughter, no malice, right? No right. forethought, no mm-hmm. no planning. But it was a crime.
Yep.
And he has to pay the price for it, according to Greek social mm-hmm. Acceptable thought.
Right.
Right? So yep. I'm going to look at that crime and compare it with what would happen in contemporary Canadian mm-hmm. society mm-hmm. if a similar crime were committed. And so I'll talk about that a little bit more, and, you know, I'll mention my colleagues here in the crim department yep. because a lot of my education on that piece of the puzzle mm-hmm. comes out of the crim department, and Beth McClin and Joanne and the whole yeah. Inside Out gang
right.
who are really talking about, you know, what sets people up to become in a position where conflict with the law is, you know, the next step, other by, you know, there's impacts of poverty and,
right.
and so forth. That
it can almost seem like some people in our communities are on a path that they don't have much control over. And that's always how I felt about Oedipus.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I kind of, as a young person, when I read that play, I thought, well, this poor guy, like, what could he have done? He tried to escape his fate. And he wasn't able to.
Mm-hmm.
And there is that kind of sense even today that, and so, yeah, there's a question of free will, I guess, which is also at the heart of a lot of Greek tragedies.
Totally, totally. And these days we might call it breaking the cycle.
Right, yes.
So how are you supposed to break the cycle?
Yeah.
And that's what Oedipus's daughter Antigone tries to do. But even she gets caught up in a big old mess of revolt and, you know, trying to right the wrongs of one's father. That's a tough goal
that's
to have
tough.
As well. And you know what I always love to do is involve students.
Okay.
So my plan is to have some students read portions of the script.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, because in the format that we have here for the colloquium, it doesn't have to be just me sharing
right.
the information, like a lecture style.
Yeah.
I'll be a little more modern than that, I hope, and have some students up there too. And we'll read some key scenes and compare them with the Criminal Code of Canada.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me today, Eliza. I'm really looking forward to your talk.
It's so much fun to be part of something that's so successful. This is the 10-year anniversary
mm-hmm.
of
yeah.
the colloquium,
yeah.
and you've been a part of it for a good couple of years now.
Yep.
Doing
yep.
a great job. Always a pleasure to work with you and talk with you.
Thanks, Eliza.
You've been listening to Conversations in the Arts and Humanities. Thanks to Eliza Gardner for joining us. Technical production by Robin Davies. We've got more talks on tap throughout the fall. In November, percussionist and music instructor Hans Verhoeven will perform with his students Adam Robertson and James Bowman. We hope to see you there. I'm Catherine Rollwagen. Thanks for listening.